We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. Dustin Hockensmith and Todd Sadowski are here firing questions, your questions, at Greg Pickle. If you didn't know, if you have the Keystone Sports app, there's a button that says Ask Greg. You can fire off your questions there. Download the Keystone Sports app anyway. You can listen to all the stuff that we do there. And you can also check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Segment brought to you by TailgateWine.com, where they have some Penn State-themed wines for sale. An 1855 Vidal Sapphire Blue. It's a blueberry wine. Old Main Pinot Grigio. You can get your tailgate wine at TailgateWine.com. Best question today will be rewarded with a bottle of wine from TailgateWine.com. This will be picked by Greg, and we're doing something a little bit different here. Todd and I are going to do a little Ask Greg draft where we're going to pick the questions to ask Greg from you guys, and we're going to take turns doing it. I'm going to give you the honors here, Todd.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. We'll start with Matt in Camp Hill. How many of the other 13 Big Ten teams would Sean Clifford start at quarterback for?
It's interesting. I mean, one of the questions we had last week was how good is the quarterback competition going to be between Tommy Stevens and Sean Clifford? And I really hate to look that far ahead because, I mean, we're talking about a conversation that we'll have 9 months from now or 6 months from now, but certainly not 6 or 9 weeks from now, I don't think, unless Trace McSorley gets hurt. But, yeah, Sean Clifford has certainly done a lot for himself. He's 5 for 5 for, 5,000 yards, I think, 5 touchdowns. I mean, he just
– another good ball at Illinois.
Every time he comes in, he just throws complete passes for touchdowns. I mean, and it's not like we're talking cheap ones either. I mean, the one to Daniel George, it's weird to write and say 95-yard touchdown pass because it was more like a 40-yard touchdown pass than Daniel George ran the rest of the way. But, yeah, I mean, I think he could start Rutgers. I think that's for certain. Maryland he probably could start. I'm going to go with 4 of the other 13 Big Ten teams.
I think that's fair.
Maryland, you just jinxed him. I mean, he's going to get injured if he goes to Maryland and starts. Yeah. I mean, that's a given.
We'll just send him to Rutgers.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm looking at the stat sheet, and I think, okay, so he's better than Dwayne Haskins. He's better than Trace McSorley. I think every one of the 13, he should be a starter. 5 out of 5 for 8 billion yards. That's a good question. Where's my question? I'm looking for my question here. I can't find it anywhere. It's good radio.
You're doing great.
Oh, yeah. It's the idea of holding something back. There you go. Ben from Oshkosh. Sorry about that. Are the Lions holding anything back going out of four games?
I hate that idea that they're holding something back.
No, but they are.
But everybody is. They always are. So these guys spend, they play football games from September until December and sometimes into January. And the rest of the year, they watch film and figure out ways that they can exploit the defenses that they will face. So, yeah, I mean, if there's a 300-page playbook, they're only using, 30 of it each game. So, yeah, there's always going to be things that are held back. Now, why is Tommy Stevens not played? I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I thought for sure he'd play against Illinois. But then again, on Tuesday, when James Franklin was saying he was available, there was this little inkling in the back of my mind that thought, maybe he won't be. He'll be available, which means he's there, but he won't play. So, I don't know. I figured they would have got him some run by now. I know that the injury obviously set him back, but that's probably the biggest thing they're holding back. Otherwise, we're talking about an offense that's averaging 50 points a game. What more do you want to see from it?
This isn't just offense, though. Are there wrinkles? I do think that as a coaching staff, I've never been a college football coach. You might not know that by the degree to which I analyze this stuff, but I have to believe that as you're navigating this early season schedule, you're always looking for the push-pull of, what do we need? What can we keep and reserve? What wrinkles do we have? What gadgets? What tricks? And that's not just offense. I think that they're – every team is doing that, of course. But I think what Ben from Oshkosh wants to know is, what does Penn State have that it hasn't shown yet? He mentioned Tommy Stevens playing the Lion. I think that's first and foremost, but also – It's something that Todd mentioned earlier, Micah Parsons unleashing him on the quarterback, unleashing something on the quarterback.
Well, part of it is, I mean, they're dealing with a young defensive team. They're still trying to figure out what their guys can do as opposed to what they need them to do. And I would think, absolutely, you got this kind of game and this kind of matchup, you're going to have to do something a little different that you don't have on film to get them to think about something. And I agree with Greg also about Tommy Stevens. You know, maybe after one game, two games, what they, if he was healthy enough to play, at some point he would have been in the lineup. One, because the guy has stayed. And, yeah, you know, you don't want to, you know, you want to reward the guy with playing time, you know, for that kind of loyalty. And you want him to be sharp. If he's your backup quarterback, he would be in there to get some reps, to get some playing time at that point. So that's probably more of a injury thing for sure. And defensively, I don't know. We'll see what they come up with. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. All right. So I'm going to go with this one. This one's a little not dated necessarily, but just updated a little bit. I think it's funny because I think a lot of people are this way. Jonathan in State College. I can be kind of an emotional fan. After the App State, I had PSU at 8-4 or 7-6. After Pitt, I'm dreaming of the college football playoff again. How have the first couple of games changed your mindset about the season? If you could pick the record again, how many wins would you put PSU at?
Yeah, so I picked them, I think, 9-3 at one place and then 10-2 at another place. So I was sort of playing both sides of the coin, and I have the ability to go back and pull either of those predictions to suit what I needed to.
So
at the
courageous,
end of the year.
Right?
I would make them 11-1 right now, and I would make a loss to Ohio State as likely, and I think they win every other game. I thought Indiana might be a tough matchup. I don't think that anymore after watching Michigan State dismantle Indiana last week. I think that, you know, Penn State is going to obviously face a challenge at Michigan, and the fact that Michigan ran all over Nebraska this past week maybe worries me a little bit, but I think Penn State wins that game. So I have them at 11-1 right now. I think the first 4 weeks have shown that the weaknesses we thought this Penn State team would have, it does, but we probably also underestimated a little bit what KJ Hamler in the return game would mean and what Trace McSorley would do as a senior. I mean, this offense, guys, it can score with anybody. And in a game where Penn State's in a shootout, like it might be against Ohio State, I don't know if it wins that game, but in a game where it is the superior offense, like at Michigan, it probably isn't going to lose. So I would make him 11-1, I think, at this point.
So he's had, at one point,
so
9-3, 10-2, and 11-1. He is standing out there on the sturdiest, most stable part of that limb, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's also somewhere on the dark web with a 6-6 pick.
That's right. Yes.
Just in case. Just in case, covering all bases there.
Yes.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, where our courageous hero, Greg Pickle, makes a wavering stance on every issue that Penn State football faces. Segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. The winner of this segment for best question on the Ask Greg segment is going to get a bottle of Tailgate Wine. So if that doesn't encourage you to download the Keystone Sports app and ask Greg a question, I don't know what does. I got a similar question here, just talking about fan sentiment and emotion. Steve from Boynton Beach, Florida. Happy Ohio State week, in parentheses, although I am less optimistic after the Illinois game. After watching the Friday night game, I don't know what to think. Defensively against a poor Illinois team, there was zero pass rush, couldn't stop the run, receivers were constantly wide open, missed tackles everywhere, penalties on both sides of the ball. His question is, how much of this could be summed up to an odd Friday night trap game, or are we, meaning Penn State, in huge trouble against Ohio State? Should I start mentally preparing myself for a home blowout loss to the Buckeyes? Thanks. Looking forward to your show this week. Not so much the actual game. That was my favorite line at the end there.
Love it. Well, it's a really good question. I've gone so back and forth on this, and the nice thing is that's what I always do. So I'll make one pick now and then one pick for the Wednesday later on in the week, and everything will go splendidly, and I'll be able to use whichever one I want. No, but look, I have at one point thought this game would be like a 21-point Ohio State win, and then there's another part of me that sees Penn State winning by 7. I mean, Ohio State, I think, is a better team top to bottom when it all comes down to it. Penn State, how do you trust Penn State's defense at this point? I think it's really difficult to do. I mean, yes, they have, you know, a 2 second-half shutouts against Pitt and Kent State. They gave up just 7 points to Illinois. I mean, you can look at it on one hand and say, how, you know, why don't – but the – the problem I keep coming back to is that you can't. They don't have three starting linebackers they feel good about. They don't have 11 guys total on the defense that they feel good about. So you put two and two together, and they're going to face the best offense that they've seen all year. It's not a recipe for success. So I think Penn State fans should be looking forward to this game. I think the whiteout crowd will again make a pretty big impact on this one. And when you put those two things together, it's probably going to equate, to a close contest that Penn State's in until the end. Do they win? I don't think so. But are they going to get blown out? I don't necessarily think that's the case either.
It's so funny the angst that's gotten to be involved with the football games. Guys, they've scored 222 points four games. At some point, enjoy this because it won't last forever as far as this kind of a dynamic offense. I mean, maybe it will. I don't know. Maybe it'll last for a while. But it's really, really been fun to see the offense do their thing. I understand watching what Ohio State is bringing to town. But at the same time, the roster's pretty solid and getting better and better every single year with Penn State. And again, I'll just defer to the whiteout situation and the way this series has kind of went back and forth. It is a tremendous advantage to have them at home, but it just cracks me up. Jonathan in State College, I'm kind of an emotional fan. I think we're going to, back and forth in the way you swing because they looked so poorly, I guess, against Illinois. But then again, offensively, I mean, they didn't show any inkling that they could stop them. And receivers were running 10 yards wide open. KJ Hamler, they were sitting back 5-10 yards off of him on a crossing route. So I just think they're going to score plenty of points. They've shot themselves in the foot a little too much with penalties and that kind of stuff. So that's concerning.
Would anyone else like to see Penn State play a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage on defense? It just feels like they play off, and that creates a lot of their problems.
Maybe that's one of the wrinkles that they've been hiding, Greg.
Perhaps. So you never know. I'm just saying it just feels like they're always a pretty far away from the ball. And then, and of course, John Reed's return has been a little bit disappointing as well. Maybe he turns things around this week, too.
Let me just say this real quick. I think we have time for one more question. Todd, you can search for a question while I say this. I think the thing that makes college football great, at least the reasons that they project outward when they defend the college football playoff, they defend the lack of a true playoff, is that every single week has such high stakes. It's why college football fans are largely miserable. It's why you're looking for reasons why your team doesn't suck, and you have a hard time finding them. I think even Alabama fans are sitting there wondering, like, can we run the table? One loss makes all the difference. So fans are miserable. It's not like the NFL where if you go 11-5, you're in good shape. If you go, you go 9-3, you're done.
Right.
You got another question?
Sure, we got time?
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. Juwan Johnson's lack of production, is it due to the opposition taking him out of the game or him not getting separation?
That's a good question. I mean, I think separation's been a problem even dating back to when Josh Gattis was Penn State's receivers coach. There's guys open, but they don't always get themselves open. It's usually a result of the play call. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's mostly, he just hasn't had the starts of the season he wanted to.
Pick a winner, Greg.
The winner, Steve from Boynton Beach, Florida, is this week's winner.
I think for his
question was about the Friday night game and looking forward to Ohio State.
And for his emotional honesty.
Yes.
He's emotionally available, ladies. Steve from Boynton Beach, hit us up. We'll give you his email address. Thanks for tuning in this week. This edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.